Let's start. We're up to Halacha Zayin. But before we go to Halacha Zayin, let's see some of the Shi'arim Mitzvah Halacha. Aleph on the bottom. Ladich Aisa Yachad Mayim. On page Resh, on the bottom, Ois Aleph. Sha'odin mitsuyanim behaloch, Ois Aleph, Ladich Aisa Yachad Bemayim. Halacha is you have to, before you salt, salting cannot be done immediately. First has to be soaked and rinsed in water, soaked in water for at least a half an hour. And then after that's soaked in water, it has to be rinsed. What happens if there is no water available to soak your meat? The only water available is seawater. Seawater by is salty. So you're ruining it. You're soaking it in salt. So that's going to ruin the process of salting. It's mutter. He paskin which that if it was soaked in less than 18 minutes, shir kavish he paskin zis kavul yudches minut 18 minutes. So if you soaked it in salt water, seawater, less than 18 minutes, it's okay. But let's say it was soaked here for more than 18 minutes, and it's also the ain hefsid meruba. It's also if it's not a great loss. Uvehefsid meruba. Let's say there is a great loss involved. It's very expensive. Yesh lahatel etzliya. Then the solution is you no longer can salt it. The only thing you can do is you can go for the kill, roasting. Roasting is a better, more powerful form of removing the blood then is removing the blood. I'm sorry, removing the blood then is salting. So in a situation where it was soaked basically in salt water, seawater, for more than 18 minutes, then you have no choice. If it's hefsid muat, throw it out. Hefsid meruba, the solution now is to roast it. Disagrees. If you soak it in salt water, it's mamish treif. Let's say a person is in the army, he's out in the field, and that's the only thing that's available. When the car is not working, and the only thing available is salt water. Which means the faucet plumbing is not working. So the solution is if you only have seawater, the best thing you can do is you can rinse it. You can rinse it in seawater, but not to actually soak it, and that is sufficient because mikradin you don't need to soak it. Mikradin, the only thing you really need to do with meat before you salt it is to rinse it, like what the Rama says. V'imu b'mokam shein loy ma'im klum yesh loy oid takona al yidei tzli al gab b'cholim oy b'shvud tzli ein tzorech adoch mashkosav hashach. The shach is very lenient. If you're going to roast it, you don't need to do even hadocha. If you're planning on taking meat and roasting, and if you want to remove the salt by the blood by roasting, you don't need to do hadocha and certainly not sharia. Or via the frying, heavy mishal shuvas shadvas. The im tzol agabi gcholim b'loy hadocha kamayis so yiklev achitza mishum dam shal peponav. If you roast it without hadocha, what you should do is at least to peel off the very outer edge of the meat, because the dam shal peponav the imhu samach l'shchita shlo nisyavish oid hadam al peponav tzagi b'kinuach ein tzach klifa. If it's right after the shchita was done, the meat is still moist, the blood has not congealed on the surface, you don't need to do even klifa. It's not even just to dry it, to take, I guess, a rag and to wipe off any blood before you do the roasting. Okay, so that's the basic, let's see, base, oh, it's base. Yaseh shelas chacham. This goes back on what happens if you forgot. Let's read the halacha base one more time. If you forgot and the basa was soaked from water for 24 hours, habasa v'gama kli osur, then the basa and the kli is osur. Let's review the reason. The reason why if you soak meat in water for more than 24 hours, the meat is treif, because we assume that after a certain period of time, the meat stopped giving out blood. And once the meat has stopped giving out, it now changes, shifts gears, changes mode, and now is willing to absorb blood. And once the blood has left, that's done. The blood comes back inside, the meat is trafed because the meat has now been as eating meat that has an absorption of blood, and the salt will no longer be effective in removing that blood. Salt is only effective in removing blood when the blood has not come out for the, cannot come out for the first time. Once the blood has come out and then gone back inside, salt is not effective in removing that blood. The blood already has been dulled, the fact that it came out and now goes back inside, salt's not going to draw it out. So if you soak it for more than 24 hours, we have to be chayish, the blood went out and now went back inside, and it's too late to apply salt to remove that blood. That's only true when it comes to a regular piece of meat. When it comes to liver, liver is always in the process of removing, of giving out its blood, even after 24 hours. So there's tzad to be makel that if you soak liver by mistake for more than 24 hours, the liver may still be okay. And here he brings down, so what should you yashas chacham b'pischei tshuva herich b'zeh fevedir v'chavas yoyer lahachmir to be machmir v'dir v'chodesh lahatir he's mekel v'dar ketshuva gamkin hech b'zeh v'hevi harbi deyas lahakel u'masam hevi harbi deyas lahachmir u'l'soif mevi mei hagohos chasam soifer de'af l'apri chodesh u'di'ime even according to b'chodesh and those that follow his opinion shemekilim b'koveid Shanisha may isleis, hainu lechol rak tsuluya. Aval, only the only thing you can do is if you want, if only if you roast it. Aval im acher hatsliya bishla. In other words, that's all you do: roast it and eat it right away. But if you roast it and then you cook it, that's no good. Avlam acher hatsliya bishla oy tigno fry it acherkach b'shumin ein lahatir the kevin she nichbisha im dama, since it has been pickled in its blood. Who says that the roasting will succeed in removing every drop of blood? Maybe now when you'll cook it or you'll fry it later, it's going, the blood will, once it will come out and go back inside, it'll be treif. Okay, it's fascinating because the halacha l'maisa, that's what we do, if you have liver, and you kash your liver. Liver bezmanes es kasher to tzli. Once the liver has been kasher, you can take the liver, do whatever you want with it. You can cook it, you can do, you can whatever you want. You can do whatever you want once the liver has been kasher. So here he's saying there's such a thing in halacha. Generally, that's the way it is. Generally, once you have something that's kosher, and once it's been certified as kosher, you can do whatever you want. Once the meat is kosher, it's kosher. Here you have a situation where something is kosher, but there's a limit how you can prepare it for consumption. You have liver. Liver is kosher, but you only can prepare it by roasting. You cannot, by broiling, you cannot cook it. What's the example? We have liver. Liver was soaked for more than 24 hours. Now we're going to kasher it by broiling it. Tzli will draw out the blood. But we're chayish that the tzli, the roasting that's going to draw out the blood, is not going to do a perfect job. There's going to be some small residue of blood that's still inside, which is fine. As long as it's not come outside, you can eat it. But if you're going to cook it after you roast it to get out the blood, there's a concern that the tzli did not succeed in removing all the blood, and now the cooking will cause blood to come out and go back inside and create a problem of meat that's been cooked in blood at this point. So therefore, in this situation where it's been roasted, it's been soaked in water more than 24 hours, you're not allowed to cook it after you roast it. You only... Putting it in boiling water prevents it from the blood coming out. That's another technique. That's a thing that will come down later on. That taking a piece of meat and putting it in boiling hot water that causes like the blood to freeze. Like it freezes the blood in its place, it'll never come out forever. Okay, that we'll see later. But by liver, I don't think it says that. Okay, he makes this pshara. That's what he means. Yas shel schacham. This is the compromise. Okay, and then in the bottom is one more line. Ubas or kovet shenikrash b'mikarer in a freezer. The nasil of kerach iyesh ledoyne kibasa shenichbash b'mayim. I mean, come on. The Rambam says that's a very big problem. Someone learned that when you're freezing, from a machmir, if you freeze meat, then it makes it worse. That's considered it's been soaked for more than 24 hours. And if it's soaked for more than 24 hours, we know that you no longer can soil. If you have a piece of meat and the meat has been soaking in water for more than 24 hours, no good. It's impossible to kosher this piece of meat because the salting is not going to do a sufficient job. What about if the meat has been frozen for more than 24 hours? Is that called that it's been soaked for more than 24 hours? I think we'll probably very make on this, I imagine. Is that true?
Depends too. Like Ali doesn't use anything that's
frozen.
You know, I mean, in other words, the frozen meat that they use has been kosher.
After kosher, of course, that's been kosher. Before it's been kosher, before it's been kosher, the knack in the froze.
Yeah.
South America.
That's where it comes from. South America.
Argentina. No, Argentina. That's Israel. Gets Argentina. Right. The United States doesn't get any meat from Argentina.
Midwest.
Chile, Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Mexico now also.
Oh, yeah. Why not Argentina?
Because we don't have relations very well with Argentina.
The US?
Won't let any American meat in there.
Oh, I see.
Okay, we have here halacha of poishin. We have halacha of lukewarm water. Kegimel, lukewarm water. We discuss the situation of. We discuss it. This is referring back to. Okay, let's go to Halacha Zayin. Let's go further. Okay, let's go further. Halacha Zayin. Let's try to cover some ground. Halacha Zayin. L'yachas shenishra habasa tzrichin l'hatif minu ha'mayim k'dei shlo yimas ha'melech min ha'mayim. After the... Okay, so what's the procedure? We have meat. Meat is being soaked in water. After it's been soaked in water, we have to let the meat drip dry. Let the meat dry. Why? Because when you're going to apply salt, you don't want the salt to dissolve too quickly. The salt has to have koyach to draw the blood from the meat. If there's too much liquid on the meat, the salt will dissolve and will not have the power to draw the blood. On the other hand, you have to be careful that the meat should not become dry, because the meat becomes dry. If it's completely dry, all the salt will not succeed, will not work in drawing out the blood. Ches, hamelach, what kind of salt? So they sell in the store. I don't know they really sell them anymore that much anymore. Special kashering salt. It used to be. No one kashers today.
Kosher salt.
The kosher, which is not like the table salt. Of course. Hamelach lo yehe dak me'oit. Don't, the melach not be too fine, can be the imke nomes miyud, it melts, it dissolves quickly on the surface and does not have the koyach to draw out the blood. Al habosa ve'ina moitzi dam, v'gam lo ye gas me'oid, it should not be too coarse, shema yipol me'al habosa, it's going to fall off the meat and it's not going to accomplish anything. Ela yehe be'noni kemo shamelech shanasai de bishol, middle ground, like salt that's used for bishol, v'yeh v'lyoveh, she'yispazer heitev, and it should be dry, it should be spread very well. Today in the factories, I saw they salt, they have like machines, it's like there's no shear. The salt just comes and comes and comes. They thoroughly salt the chickens and the meat, the top and bottom, inside out. A lot of salt. Test. Shichim lefazer ha-melech ala basa mikolat stud, all sides. Shelo yishoer mokam mibli melach. L'chein ha-ifay shichim lefteach ha-son. You have to open up the birds. You have to put salt in the inside of the bird because that's on the other side of the bird. Heidiv kidei sheyuchal lemolchon gam mibifnim so that you can salt them on the inside. Ha-basa b'milcho tzach lanich b'mokam shichal adam lazud mimenu heitev. After you finish salting, you have to position the meat or the bird in a way that the blood can flow freely. You don't want the meat to soak in its own blood. After the salt draws out the blood, it should not soak in the blood, but the blood should flow, should drain somewhere. Don't put the basket with the meat on the ground. The blood will not drain. Even after the meat soaked in its salt for the shir melicha before you rinse it. Lo yidnim makam shenadam yachol lozov heydev. At every moment in time, you should be careful not to put the meat in a place where the blood will not be able to flow. Ukshemolchin al gabe daf, and when you salt on a board, tzrichin lanicha b'shipua, the board must be on an incline so that the blood angles so the blood can flow. Kidei sheyozov adam heydev shlo yeba guma sheyiskabe tzbeitzir. There should not be some type of hole where the tzir collects. Period. If you go and salt a bird or any type of piece of meat which has an opening, a cavity where blood can collect, it has to be turned in a way where the blood will drain. The open area has to be turned upside down. What is the amount of zman? How long does the meat has its salt? So remember, when it comes to soaking, remember the different numbers. When it comes to soaking, it's a half an hour. Before you salt it, it's a two-step process. Before you salt it, it has to soak in water. It has to soak for a half an hour. After it soaks for half an hour, then begins the salting process. The salt, l'chatchila, should be for an hour. However, with a shas hadchak, eshem v'arba minuten regoim, 24 minutes. That's a shir chabad. That's a large shir. Many even make 18 minutes. Okay, it used to be years ago, I heard from a reliable source years ago in the butcher shops before they used to wait 18 minutes. And when they talk about when they waited 18 minutes, they didn't wait 18 minutes and 20 seconds. They had on the clock 18 minutes on the dot. On the dot, no wasting time. Every second is money. Every second is business. They don't waste any time. And that used to be the accepted number, 18 minutes. I guess today, we live in a very firm world. They probably can't get away with that. They have to wait at least a half an hour, like what it says in the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch. Yud Beis. What? You have other problems. With what?
The meat gets branded, so the place where the meat is branded,
yeah,
it got cooked at the spot it got branded. In other words, it was the heat
process.
So you have to rub off the place where the brand is.
Like
a lot of places get the Kehila Kashas made everybody go around.
Really?
As you could see. It says where the tongue came from. It's yeah. Like you're branding it.
Yeah. So but it's heat.
Screw, you have to take
uh-huh. Because that place is trafe. They clefa.
Because
they clefa, yeah.
In that spot.
Yeah. That spot is trafe because...
Liver gets branded, tongues get branded.
So they can't, they don't...
It's not really cooked. It's roasted.
In other words, that's the heat process over there, so you got to rub it off or slice off the piece.
So they can't make
where
a deal?
It's a surface burn, so you got to rub it off.
They can't make a deal with the suppliers
and
not to do
this? A lot of places, they didn't do it for a long time until somebody raises the question. All of a sudden, you have a thought.
Uh-huh.
And you say, what about, you know...
Slice, right.
It was scalded at that spot.
And it was not kosher in that spot.
Right,
but you think of that, you know...
18 minutes is also for Bendouf of the Masa to be 18 minutes to...
Matzah, 18
also
minutes,
also for
chometz.
The Shekia, Mincha, 18 minutes.
But you see, here we go to Chumrah. There, by Matzah, 18 minutes is a Chumrah. You don't want to become Chometz. Here it's a Chumrah to wait 18 minutes. It all depends which side of the fence you're on. Here we wanted the salt for more than 18 minutes, for 24 minutes, the larger share of a meal, in order that we make sure we get all the blood out. Halacha Yud Beis, Yachas Shohi Babasa Munach Memilchas Kishu Yinapitz Menu HaMelechetif. Okay, now we're finished. You've salted it for half an hour. Now you shake off the salt well. Umadichin Oso Shalosh Pe'omim. It has to be rinsed 3 times. B'mayim Hetif. Each of Yiras Hashem Yeshlo Lashkech Be'atzma Ala Ahadoch HaSabasa. She herself should do the rinsing. Ki Lifamim Ham Shor Reses. The maidservant that assists in preparing the meat, Asher Bakosef, who carries, she does the hard labor of carrying things on her shoulder, Tisoe Samayim, so it's very hard, she has to carry the water, talking about his time, where do you get water to rinse the meat? You have to carry it from the well. Who wants to schlep all that water from the well to rinse it 3 times, or rather than schlep it 1 time? So therefore, if you're not, no one's watching, the person is going to... Machines... The one that the mishares that carries the water on the shoulder, that some say will be stingy. And if you're not going to rinse off the blood, then you've done a good salting and you've removed all the blood, but all the blood is on the surface, and you'll come to eat the blood. Therefore, you have to be careful not to put the meat in a kli without water before you rinse it, because if you're not going to put in any water in the utensil, then it's going to soak in its blood. The blood will get reabsorbed into the meat. There has to be water for it to immediately dissolve and fall away. Yud Gimel. Tzrichim lizabiyafas tohasir es harosh. Kaidem hashri. Before, we're going back to the beginning of the process. Before you soak birds, you have to chop off the head because the head has a lot of blood. And it's going to, the blood's going to collect. The blood's going to collect in the head, and it's going to be problematic later in the process of salting, and the salt's not going to be able to remove all of the blood, especially if the blood congeals in the head. If you salt the bird with the head, it's a chacham, because it might be that the salting is not severe. The salting only takes out small amounts of blood. It does not take out large pockets of blood that are collected in different parts of the animal. And the head of a bird is problematic. The animal, you have to separate the head from the body of the animal because in the head there can be a collection of blood. Meat, which has not been salted, be very careful where you put it, because if you put it in a place where there's salt, you're going to ruin the whole process. If you start salting it prematurely, you only have one chance to salt. It's not like, I can do a little salt now, I'll salt it again. It's a chemical process. Once salt comes in contact with meat, it causes the meat to, the blood begins to be withdrawn, to be pulled out of the animal. That you only can do once. Once you've activated these, I don't know how the terminology, this process of causing the blood to be withdrawn from the meat, you can't repeat this again. So you got to do it right the first time, otherwise blood will be trapped inside, and when you'll cook it at a later point in time, then blood will come out and will be reabsorbed, and you're going to have a problem, a kashrus problem. The utensils are used for kashering, of course, should not be used for vegetables, for peros, because obviously the blood from the meat is going to cleave to the utensil, and it's going to get mixed into your fruits and vegetables. And from the kli, it's going to touch your fruits and vegetables. So therefore, you have to keep separate kalim for the process of salting. Tezvav haroish tzrichim luchat chay kadem shriya. Now, let's say you want to eat the head of a bird or head of an animal. Today, do we do this? They sell heads of animals for eating.
No, they don't.
Very labor intensive. So you could get, but they don't. A lot of places won't do it.
It's not worth the effort.
We do it in my country. We do the head. We cut.
Very expensive to make.
In Eretz Yisrael, they do more of this, I think, because Eretz Yisrael, there's a shortage. There's a shortage.
They trade with the hindquarters.
They use the hindquarters.
Get on Usha. They take it out.
But the problem is, it costs so much to do it. But
talking about meat or
chicken?
Both.
Not everybody does it in Israel either. But the meat, the veid is so pervasive that the meat looks like a piece of dog meat. I mean, it's just,
a hack to meat.
You ruin it completely. You have to do it, there's an art to doing it well. And slicing out with a vein slides out instead of just slicing open the meat and let it come out. You want to slide it out.
The head, you have to cut it open before you soak it, and to take out the brain, and to rip out the membrane, shalav, to remove the membrane that is on top of the moyach, and to soak it, and to salt it, bifnei atzma, because if you do not do it by itself, there's going to be a collection of blood, and the collection of blood is not going to come out in the process of salting. If you do want to eat the head, you have to salt it on the inside and on the outside. Here it says a chiddush, the hair does not get in the way. Just because there is hair, fur, any type of thing on the outside of the head, that's not an impediment to the soul. The soul will be able to succeed in extracting the blood. Tezayin. Atzamois sheyesh bohein moyach imadain hin dvukos bebasar molchim bebasar biyachad k'moshein. You need not worry. There's no blood in the bones. The bones do not have collection of blood, and there's marrow, but that's not blood. That's not a kashrus issue. That's not a blood problem. So there's no issue if you have a piece, so you have a bone, and the bone is part of the basar. You don't have to take out the bones. You don't have to separate it. You can salt the meat with the bones, and everything is fine. The blood is not going to get absorbed into the bones, and there's no blood in the bones. bones that you have to be concerned about. But what happens if you've separated the bones by themselves? For some reason, you've cut them into different parts, you have bones. Then, there is some blood that does surround the bones here and there, so they have to be salted separately. And likewise, do not put them near the meat, the basar, because once they've been separated, they have a different, and blood that comes from one can cause problems. The blood that comes from the meat can get collected out and absorbed into the cavities of the bones when the bones have been separated from the meat. So they have to be separate. Yudzayin. You have the hooves. The hooves, the animal, have to be separate before you do the soaking. Because the blood, that's where the blood flows. The blood flows from the bottom of the legs. And if the hooves are still attached to the bottom of the legs, the blood's not going to be able to flow freely. So they must be removed. The legs have to be positioned away where the blood can flow, it should not collect. There's no issue with here is not an impediment to the salting process. You have to cut the heart back and forth. There's a lot of blood in the heart. That's what the heart does. It pumps blood. So the heart has to be cut open, has to be cut to make sure that the blood can flow freely from the heart. Hareya, the lungs. The large tubes of the lungs have to be cut open. Because it's going to collect. The blood is going to flow into these tubes, and you're going to have a collection of blood, so they have to be cut open so that the blood can flow. Hakoveit. Okay, so now we come to the liver. The liver. What? The symphonies are the tubes, the bronchial tubes in the lungs have to be cut open so that the blood does not collect. When you salt the lungs, there's a lot of blood in the lungs. Where is that blood going to naturally flow? To an open area. Where's the open area? The tubes. That's, now you don't want to have a collection of blood, because they may get trapped. And then when you cook, it'll come out and it'll make the meat trace.
In America, they destroy it. They don't let come.
Today, you don't eat it, right? Today, they don't serve any lungs. They have lungs today.
Yeah, they spar them, though.
Spar them, but Ashka, they sell it?
Spar them, but ask them.
By the lungs?
Buy all those parts.
I didn't
the brain, the heart.
Fried. I never see in the supermarket.
It's very hard to get it, but they're the only one. The customers for those parts are the spar them.
If it is halal, we are halal. Let you see.
Legislation
does what
you
do. Definitely, yes.
But you get it.
Pizza, like the chicken.
You can't get.
In Baltimore, they do.
Health department, because you're getting the hair is the bomb.
In Baltimore, there is a butchers.
Pizza is difficult.
Sephardic butchers, they do illegal.
You can't clean it right. And
they do illegal and sell it.
Yeah?
Yeah, also there is too much.
Okay.
A lot of hang salami.
Okay, let's see what it says about the liver. Now we come to the liver. This is much more practical. The liver is all blood, has a lot of blood. In fact, it's all blood. There's no such thing as salting liver to kasher liver. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. Salt is limited. Salt only has the koyach to draw blood from a piece of meat. It does not have the koyach to draw the blood from liver. Therefore, the only solution to kasher liver is to roast, to broil liver. You have to cut it open in order to let the blood flow freely. In order to allow the fire to draw out all the blood of the liver. You have to rinse it before you put it on the fire. Okay, it says here that although we do not salt liver, we do use salt. A little amount of salt is put on the liver when you put it on the fire to assist, to help the fire draw out the blood. It's a catalyst. It's a catalyst. So add, we roast it. Sheyeh royal yachila until it's royal yachila. The salt.
It opens the pores. Certain chemicals let the meat absorb when you want to pull it. It opens up the pores and lets the meat absorb things.
And so here it lets it opens up to let it come out.
Ryan, it sticks inside the meat.
So here the salt opens up the pores to allow the fire to pull it out. The salt itself would not suffice to pull out the blood. There's so much blood. It's not going to suffice to pull out the blood, but it will open up the pores in order to allow the fire to now efficiently, effectively, remove all the blood from the liver. They have no understanding of why Jews roast broil liver. They say if you give a guy a chopped liver, give a liver, kosher liver, this liver, the whole hano of the liver is the blood. That's what liver is.
The thing with blood is it keeps the. You want to keep. I mean, if you're you want to eat meat, the blood keeps the meat tender. So the longer the meat stays in the blood, it's more tender, which is why. Bones will, because it's like it has no blood in it, they, when the meat begins to smell, the first thing they'll do is cut away the bone, because a lot of times it's the bone that smells and not the meat. So you could salvage the meat by just cutting away the bone.
Why does the bones?
The bones get rancid much more quickly than the meat, because there's still a little bit of meat in the blood, juices, and it keeps the meat a little fresher, a little longer.
But the bones,
bones have no blood, so they just get rotten quickly.
In Mountain Fruit, they roast the chicken liver, and it's very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
Chicken liver.
Yeah. Fresh. That's why they used to try it with cattle.
I say the feet of the chicken.
The feet of a chicken?
Yeah, the feet of the chicken. It's very expensive. They peel it and they clean it and they roast it.
There were times when they attempted to do that. They were being white guys. They would shock the meat.
When you walk near the bones,
freeze the blood in there, keeps it there a little longer.
When you walk near the bones,
of course.
Okay,
let's go for the
zephyr.
The crap? No, yeah, you can kosher it. Salt it. It's good.
Zephyr.
Yes, you kosher it. It's salt.
What is the zephyr in English?
Crap. No. Crap. Okay, let's go further. Let's try to finish the rules of Malika today. Yeah, we got to go fast. I want to finish the sefer.
If you wash the animal in
more quality. Okay, let's go further. After you finish roasting liver, you rinse it well. That's the halacha that we said before. It comes to me, it has to be rinsed three times. And after, since it says, after you finish, it's a chiddush. After you finish roasting, broiling liver, it's kosher. And once it's kosher, you can do with it whatever you want. There's no concern. You need not be concerned that maybe there's some residual blood that's inside, which will come out in the cooking process. Remember, there's nothing really wrong with eating blood as long as the blood was never pleresh from the meat. Blood that's absorbed into the flesh of the meat is mutter. Why then do we kosher meat? Because we cook meat. And when you cook, the cooking is going to cause the blood to come out and then go back inside. Once the blood comes out, it's does a din dam, and now when it goes back into the meat is straight because it has absorbed the flavor of blood. So when it comes to liver, there should be a real concern. Just because I've kashered the liver by roasting it and I've drawn out the blood, maybe I've only drawn out 95% of the blood. There's so much blood in the liver. When I now take the liver and I cook it, maybe that 5% of the blood that's left in the liver will come out in the cooking process and then be reabsorbed, which makes the liver treif. Along comes the kitzur, the shulchan aruch, it's not a problem. The eish, the tzli, with a small amount of salt, has a koyach to withdraw every mashahu of halachic dam, and there's no issue. If you go and see later on that there is some type of red juice that's floating around in the container, that's tzir. Although, in the laboratory, they'll tell you it's blood. In halacha, it's not blood. In halacha, it's just called brine. It's not the din of dam. The yesh, the zol, adich, hashpam, gavachach, yilach, and you can cook it. Next, halacha, chavalf. Tzrichim lizar. Litzlei soy davka, lo eich, vloi betan, goruf. You have to roast it on an open fire, not in an oven. An oven, you can't go put it in an oven, which is cleaned. An oven that's been cleaned out. The chen lo... What?
Like a
you can't do. It has to be of an open fire. The chain lo yichuchoisa b'niyar litzloisa. You're not allowed to go wrap it in paper litzloisa. And that paper is going to burn exactly. I don't know what that means. Kach vafilu b'niyar goruah in whatever that is. You're not. doesn't say that they film paper. You're not allowed to roast. When you roast, it has to be roasted on the open fire with no chatzitza, nothing in between. I told you today, and I saw in Meal Mart, they use these very interesting machines, which they told us are the same machines they use in McDonald's and Burger King to make cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers, it goes on a machine, the fire comes on both sides in order to bring together, to cook the meat with the basar, the chalav, in one shot. So these machines are ideal for a liver. Liver comes on the machine, and this fire is burning against the liver on all sides, and the blood is dripping down on the bottom, and that's the ideal type of way to properly roast liver, boil liver, to remove its blood.
Chaf aleph. Is that regular meat or chayre?
Why not? You can regular meat is 100% kosher through tzli.
So then we can.
We don't do it though.
At McDonald's.
What? But it's true. They're basa b'chala. What do you mean?
No, I'm talking about using the same McDonald's machines.
You can make. Yeah, you can kasher. You can kasher regular meat by tzli. There's no reason why you can't kasher. Obviously.
Regular meat. Put it on the barbecue.
Yeah, you can. Regular meat. You can buy the barbecue. You don't have to salt it. The tzli is just as good. If tzli is good.
You can't. It's against the halacha, and they won't sell it to you.
You can't find it.
They don't do, because obviously it's not a quality meat. Obviously.
Is it in the coal or in the gas also the kind?
So let's try to finish off. I don't know. Yeah, we're gonna finish. You should not. Okay, let's go further. You should not salt before you do tzli. Kedesh shemolchem basa. Mikol shekein she'ein l'mloach kaved in basa b'yachad. Never salt liver together with meat. The salting is done at the same moment. Don't salt meat and begin salt liver and begin the chemical process of it. We're pulling out the blood. It's not going to succeed, but it's going to ruin it. It's going to ruin it to the. It's going to cause an effect on the meat to the point where the tzli is not going to be successful at a later point in time. So you have to just add some salt at the time of tzli, but do not salt it in advance. Chav gimel hatichol. Now let's quickly discuss other parts of the body. The spleen. The spleen also dina kishar basar rak. It has a din of regular basar. There's not that much blood, and therefore you salt it in the regular way. Rak tshichem li alhasim enu koydim shuriyah es hakrum shalav. It has a film. Has some type of a film on the top which traps the blood inside. Sha'alav, sha'asa mishum chelev, that's chelev. It's worse. Not only it's even worse. It's mamish chelev. This is mamish asa in the raisa. Gam tshichim lenakoy mishum agidim, you have to clean out the spleen. Has.
It depends what it is.
On the spleen, it says no.
There's different pieces that look. There's parts that maybe look like silver that are not called silver. You have to know what you're looking at.
Okay, so this is the. Let's go further. So, you have to also do nikor. There is some gidin which have to be removed. You take the top of the gid. The gid is the certain part. I'm not familiar with all the details of the spleen. When you pull it, when you pull the rosh gid, what comes dragged along with it? Three other smaller gidin. If you try to pull it out and it snaps, you're in trouble. You're going to have to go dig deep down into the spleen to get out those little strands which have snapped. The chalcholes, a certain section, includes the colon, a certain section of the intestines of the animal. You only have to salt it on the outside. You need not salt it on the inside. That is sufficient.
Keva.
I guess not. I guess, but even though there's no blood, okay. So on the outside. Keva shalegel shnimse b'cholof. Now here we come to problem with milk. Okay, this is not chil, milk. What happens? You have an egel harach, right? You have a little calf. An egel is nursing. I guess they have this today. They have such problems today. You have a little calf. It's nursing from the mother.
A veal.
Yeah. And nurses, they let it nurse. They starve it to death before it dies. Before they do shechita. They really do. They
would probably give it a liquid diet because it could control the diet.
But let's say you have an eagle and you find there to be milk in its stomach. So now you got a big problem. You have basar b'cholof, right? You have meat and milk. What do? You have to make sure you clean up the milk before you cook it.
And
even worse, when you're going to start salting, maybe the salting is going to cause the milk to get absorbed into the meat. Salting also has an effect of causing problems of basar b'cholof. So kevishal eagle shenimsa b'cholof shayvchenes acholof kodim shuriv aharei kisha basar. You got to be careful. You got to make sure you clean out the milk before you begin the soaking process, and then the salting process, and then the rinsing process. Make sure you get rid of the milk before you start. Next, chavav. The shayla. Different.
So you should be able to make like fleishik cheese.
It's a halacha l'maisa l'machmer. There are different opinions. There are different opinions exactly what state the milk is in. Is it tam v'mare? Is it milk? Is it not milk? Okay, it's a whole shulchan aruch on what status the milk really has inside the stomach of an eagle. But l'chatchilo, without any question, you don't want to get into these problems. Get rid of it before you begin the process. Chavav. Beitzim shenim su b'soich oifos. What about the eggs that are found inside of birds and chickens? Bein shem ketanim oid, bein shem digmu l'gami, in klipas and tzrichim shriya. Do they require salting? Do they require melicha? Are they really called eggs? If it's a real egg, you don't have... Whoever heard of salting an egg? Eggs are eggs. They're finished. But if the eggs are still called part of the body of the animal, maybe these eggs have a din of bus, so maybe there is some residual blood that doesn't need to be salted. So the answer is yes. Yes, if it's found inside of the chicken, you have to go through the entire process of soaking, salting, and rinsing. Don't salt it together with me because they're different. The problem is once a certain part of the body finishes releasing its blood, it then begins to absorb. So if you put two different types of meat next to each other, and one piece of meat finishes giving out its blood after 5 minutes, and another piece of meat first finishes giving out its blood after an hour, then the piece of meat that finishes after 5 minutes will then start absorbing the blood of the other piece of meat that's next to it after 5 minutes. So you don't want to do that. So since there's only a very small amount of blood that comes out of eggs, so you don't want that it's going to finish its process of removing the blood quickly, don't put it in the vicinity of a piece of meat which will give out blood for a long period of time. Another chumrah that since these eggs are found inside of the animal, they have a din of basar. They're not a din of basar mamish, but they have enough of a din basar that you're not allowed to eat it together with milk because it was found inside the animal. It has a shame basar. Okay, next. Basar, two more halachas, and we're finished. Basar, shashash, shloisha yam. Now, this is important halacha. Meat that has sat around for 3 days. This is a very big problem when they transport meat from different parts of the country to the place where it's processed. Shashash, shloisha yam, me'is le'is. Osor, lebishul, ele'imke, nishra, beintayim, unless it was soaked in the middle. If you soak the meat in the middle, that restarts the clock. And that's why, as Rabbi Yisrael told us, sometimes they transport meat from different parts of the country, and it's approaching 3 days, they pull over the truck or they go into special places and they hose the meat down, and hosing the meat down has the status of being shriya. So that even though they process the meat after they first begin to salt the meat, they go through the process after 72 hours, it's not halacha called 72 hours because it was broken up with a period of time where the meat was actually salted.
The problem is that when the meat is so packed together, when you hose it down,
it doesn't get it.
Yeah, that's the complaint. If the meat is packed into the trailer, each piece is jammed against the next, so you can't.
Gotta take it out.
Who does that? The truck.
You're missing spots. No, yeah. You're gonna get somebody on there who knows what he's doing.
No,
you don't trust the
driver. That's what I'm saying. That's what he doesn't know how to do.
Okay, one more halacha of ches noigim ba'oifa shul achar she'esiu hanoitzas me hav havin oisambu or also. This is a big topic. After they remove the feathers, they singe it, the or lehasir es hanishar, to remove the remaining, the residual feathers that are attached to the bird. You can't sell a bird with feathers. It's not going to go. You go to Glamart and they have feathers on. They have feathers. It's not going to sell. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do when they? How do you get off the feathers? So you singe. You singe. You put it through fire. What's the problem? The problem is if you put something in the fire, that's going to stall. That's going to. It's going to stunt the possibility for you to do melicha. So halach. So it's really it's motivated. It's a shir nifal lidzor shlo lahavivan ikiim b'shal heves shel kash v'teven. If you want to do it, you want to burn off the feathers. Go right ahead, but make sure it's a very small, minimal flame. V'lo yas shel heves gadol. Do not make it large, because if the flame is too large, it's going to really heat it up. And once you heat it up, you ruin its potential of for melicha. The salt gets trapped, the blood gets trapped inside, and then the salt will not remove the dam, but the dam will come out when you cook it, and that will then make your food, your meat, your bird treif.
So you know which animal, you know, in other words, what the minig is by some places, that was the Naka Empire years ago. The fire was too hot.
Too hot, right.
And so
now I have rubber fingers.
A long time ago, but some places make the chickens uncleaner than others.
Yeah.
Of course, some allow
the singeing of singeing, singeing. At Purdue, they do singeing. For Yas Shalavis Dovi Zosh Lilcha, if it's on of honor, Val, Val, Yisham, you have to be careful to throw it here and there now, so it's not become heated. As I said, I remember I took a tour of empires, so they explained this to us. It used to be in the empire, this is the best way. The cheapest and the most efficient, for many, many reasons, is to singe the birds after shchita. You do shchita, the birds have feathers, you just put it into the, you put it through some type of torching process, and it burns off the feathers in 10 seconds, it's clean as a whistle, and it's environmentally safe, and doesn't cost a lot of money, and it's the easiest thing to do. Problem is, what it says over in Shulchan Aruch, when you're doing this, when you're mass producing this, you can sit in the machine for just a drop too long for a kanoi to say that the bird now has been roasted, and the melicha will no longer be effective according to the halacha. So they gave in. They gave in. Empire gave in to the criticism, and they retired their singeing machines, and they install what they call the rubber finger machines. Okay, the rubber finger, basically the birds go through these machines where there are these rubber fingers which beats them up. It beats it up until it comes out and there are no feathers. So there's no heat. It's just there's no heat. Now these machines, I saw these machines, I actually saw them, they give you earplugs. They make so much noise. Can't even imagine how much noise. And the electricity to run these machines is a new fortune. And the maintenance, that's why probably the price of bird, probably, all these things contribute to the cost of a kosher chicken. You know, everything adds up. So, but that's the way it's done today.
Didn't they develop a featherless chicken?
Yeah.
They try, you know, in fact, you should know that the diet... Part of the diet that of what they feed them is in order to assist in the process of optimize the rubber finger machines. Yeah, it's not a joke. That's the point. The rubber fingers. No. What you said is a very important point. This now comes back to mind. There's a very big problem with the rubber finger machines. The rubber finger machines are so good. There's a very big problem is that when they not only they take off the feathers, they rip off the skin. It's a very big problem. They rip off the skin as well. So what's the solution? The solution is they have no choice but to feed it a diet, a more expensive diet to develop a thicker skin. So that when it goes through the rubber fingers, it will not pull off the skin. In other words, a Purdue chicken. By the way, how many weeks does a chicken stay on the farm? A chicken, a non-kosher chicken is between 5 and 6 weeks. Between optimized, it costs about 20 cents a chicken. By a non-kosher chicken, it's about 20 cents. 20 cents to produce a chicken. Come in a crate. You have a crates. Each one costs 20 cents to produce it on the farm. 5 to 6 weeks, they feed it at a special feed that's developed in the laboratory, the perfect feed. they've discovered that if you shecht a chicken after between 5 and 6 weeks, you're going to have a lot of problems in Hilchas Treifas. And as far as industry standard, once you get past 6 weeks, it's a loss. It's a loss because it doesn't pay. The bird does not grow anymore. There's no added benefit in letting the bird live more than 6 weeks. It's a waste. After 5 and a half weeks, it's the ideal time to zap the bird, and you finish. So a Goyshe bird, after 5 and a half weeks, they zap it, they don't shecht it, they electrocute it, and then they put it into a machine and it burns off the feathers, and then they start the process, whatever they do, and the machine comes out, and how much does a non-kosher chicken cost? It's pretty cheap. It's a lot cheaper, significantly cheaper than kosher bird. Problem is, when you zap, you can't zap, you need a shechita, so you have to pay a lot of money for a shechtim and develop a whole industry house for shechtim, and whole of that. That's a very good expense. Number two, they discovered that after 5 and a half weeks, when you do a bedika, there are a lot of problems.
Trafus.
A lot of trafus. All different types of crazy problems. They've discovered, for some strange reason, that if you let the bird live for one more week, for 6 and a half weeks, the number of trafos go down drastically. There are a lot less issues in typhus birds that are... They resolve themselves. These issues resolve themselves when the bird develops, lives for one more week. Even though there's no purpose, you're not gaining anything, but you have to feed it for one more week. The next problem, we can't burn off the feathers anymore, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you could. Because if you let it sit too long in the fire, then the fire is going to stunt the ability for the blood to pull out, for the soul to pull out the blood. So we have to use rubber finger machines. Rubber finger machines are too good, they pull off the skin. And you can't sell in the store a bird that has no skin. So what do? The feed was reconstituted to include certain types of... vitamins or enzymes that cause the bird to develop a thick skin. So the skin on a kosher bird, yeah, that's true also, the skin on a kosher bird is thicker. So when you buy a Purdue chicken, you match up a Purdue chicken versus a kosher chicken in Gladmore, where are you getting it from? Number one, the kosher chicken is a week older, typically a week older than a non-kosher chicken. Number two, the skin is thicker than a non-kosher chicken because of the rubber fingerprint problem.
Kosher chickens are juicier because...
I don't know if it's juicier. Everything is done to maximize profits. But these are things that you have no choice. You have no choice. What? No, it's not. It's salted. The kosher chickens are salted. It's a salt taste.
Full of the feathers.
Okay, we'll stop here.